Welcome. So I put in some cornrows today.
Yeah, you did.
I don't know if you could tell, but I'm looking pretty fresh. And I got the rotor tiller out. I even tilled in the compost into those cornrows. But this is not a home gardening podcast. This is Cinema Chop Shop. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast where we concede that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs like you and you and you and me and you decide who is going to be recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
Disobedient Trav Gresham.
Understood. All right. And I am joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, Mutinous Insurrection.
Nice.
And quick disclaimer, we are not actually in favor of the current remake, reboot, sequel-dependent culture. We are actually just trying to have fun a little bit. This is an exercise in irony and satire. We try to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
Indeed. So that will bring us right along to our first mini-segment, which will be movie news. This segment is your comprehensive coverage of everything movie-related this week. We rake it in. You know, we gather them up, we hunt and we gather, and we figure out what stories our listeners really want to hear. So what do we have first in terms of movie news, Sean?
Let's see. We have to go with our RIPs first, as we usually do.
Right at the top.
And the one that got our attention was the director and producer, David Winters.
Okay.
He directed over 80 feature films, directed or produced over 80 feature films and 200 TV shows. He was
200?
Yeah, an icon of the TV and movie industry. But he... as it pertains to this episode, he directed the film Space Mutiny.
Oh, okay.
Not an RIP, but an awfully close call. Director John Singleton had a stroke.
He did. So we're sending good vibes his way.
And Singleton directed what? Boys in the Hood?
Boys in the Hood, yeah. And a lot of those urban dramas. Urban dramas. John Singleton is a icon of that type of film, and the boys in the hood are always hard. All right, so what's up next?
Guillermo del Toro and Leonardo DiCaprio are teaming up for a creepy remake of a movie that I had not heard of when I read the article. Nightmare Alley.
Never heard of it.
Nightmare Alley.
This is when your lovely wife Allie gets super drunk.
Yeah. And she's a nightmare. No, this was a 1947 film noir. It was all an adaptation of a William Lindsay Grisham 1946 novel of the same name.
Okay.
So I don't know anything about it. But it
Guillermo del Toro and Leonardo DiCaprio in the same boat.
Yeah.
You're gonna see some goodness.
Yep. And then lastly... Steven Spielberg is turning over in his not yet grave. Netflix is one yet again, and other streaming services. They have not changed the rule with the Academy for Oscars, leaving them eligible to win Best Picture and other film awards.
I just feel like if it should be in the theaters for at least maybe six or seven theaters.
All right, and that will bring us to the end of movie news. And what is our next segment? Oh, wait, there's the phone. I hear it ringing. That must be time for the Department of Corrections Department with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
Do you know how hard it is to come up with corrections sometimes, do you? No trouble this week, though. Diogo Morgado played Caballera in O Matador, which is different from a caballera, which I believe is cowgirl in English, since caballero is cowboy. The turn-of-the-century dark comedy Sean was thinking of that Andy Serkis was in was Burke and Hare, which was about two grave robbers / murderers who sold the bodies they acquired to a prominent local doctor for dissection at his anatomy lectures. I saw that recently. wasn't my cuppa. Laura San Giacomo's surname is pronounced as such, and it's of Italian origin. Travis said it was Latin, which I suppose is close, as Italian is one of the closest Romance languages to Vulgar Latin, but the pronunciation was still wrong. Adios, muchachos.
All right, Dana, we do appreciate that. And, you know, cowgirl, cowboy, we got to improvise here in the place that we're in. So we do appreciate you, and thank you, as always, for everything that you do. And it's time to reveal the theme of the episode. Sean, what is our theme?
Mutiny movies.
So why are you talking right now?
No, that's not right.
That's not what mutiny means?
No.
So this is about situations where a crew, usually on a seagoing vessel.
Yeah, it could be anything, really, but by and large, mutiny occurs at sea on a vessel, yes.
And they overtake the captain and take command of said vessel.
Correct.
Right. We're doing this because it is the 230th anniversary of the original Mutiny on the Bounty, which is a historical event, not just a movie or multiple movies. It's actually the mutiny on the Royal Naval vessel, the HMS Bounty, occurred in the South Pacific on the 28th of April. You know, that's why we're doing it right now. In 1789, disaffected crewmen, led by Acting Lieutenant Fletcher Christian, seized control of the ship from their captain, Lieutenant William Bligh. And that story has been told, but we're going to talk about some movies that are also about mutinies.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so now it's time for the Midnight Double Feature, which is a fun segment where we have a back and forth, a point counterpoint, if you will, where we each pick two movies that are within the theme of the episode, and we talk about why they are related to each other, why they're related to the theme, and why they should be shown in... why they should be shown in succession, maybe in a public forum. So, would you like to go first with your double feature, sir?
I can go first, although mine's Jet Set into the Future.
Okay.
But
I like it.
It as we said, a mutiny can occur on anywhere, really, where you've got subordinates overthrowing their superiors.
Yep.
But I've picked two that are in the sci-fi realm
okay.
of outer space.
Oh.
The first of which is 1965's Mutiny in Outer Space.
Mutiny in Outer Space.
This was directed by Hugo Grimaldi and Arthur C. Pierce.
Okay.
Hugo Grimaldi wrote the original story, as did Arthur C. Pierce. It stars William Leslie, Dolores Faith, and Pamela Curran. I said it was 1965. And this is a low-budget sci-fi movie, but it's, you know, the tale of an expedition to a lunar ice cave. They get a deadly moon fungus.
Oh, no. There's a fungus among us.
Yeah, and they stop en route at a space station with the fungus, and it begins to take over. And, of course, the captain...
he turns out not to be a fun guy.
Correct. And the effects were pretty bad. The space station was a miniature, probably no bigger than a dinner plate.
Oh, really?
And the thing that got me, there was like this weird little tube sticking out of the center of the space station that I swear looked like a rolled up piece of paper, like when you were a kid, you made a fake cigarette.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. It follows your typical storyline that you would imagine. The scientists with the level heads say, this isn't right, we can't let this happen. We must take over the ship because the captain's not in his right mind. He's got this fungus that is driving his poor decision making.
His decisions, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's just something that you'll see throughout the mutiny movies where
yeah.
everybody's breaking the law, but everybody's
it's a recurring theme.
Yeah, justified in their own way. The second I'm doing is 1988's Space Mutiny, as we just mentioned.
Okay.
The director, David Winters, with Neil Sundstrom. David Winters wrote this under the pen name Maria Dante.
What?
Well,
that's the best pen name I've ever heard.
Well, it's with good reason, because this movie is terrible.
Maria Dante did not make a good mutiny movie.
This film was part of Mystery Science Theater 3000, where I first saw it. It was shot in a warehouse.
Okay, like a soundstage?
Not even. Like an industrial warehouse where people fall over railings over and over and over. There's an infamous scene where one of the crew gets murdered by the mutinous guys, the security force.
The mutineers.
The mutineers. And she shows up in the very next scene.
What?
Yeah, bad editing. The captain looks like Santa Claus. His daughter looks like Debbie Allen, and she's got pretty much like these high waisted like 80s style
mom cut. Jeans.
No, not jeans. It's like a leotard.
Oh,
with lots of foil adornments.
We're talking moose knuckles.
Yeah, plenty of that. And it's bad. It's bad. If you've never seen it, I strongly recommend it. There is a low-speed chase between some floor scrubbers that have been dressed out to look like some sort of security vehicles.
They're steerage people.
It's bad. It's steerage people. Call back from last week.
I love it. So you've got Space Mutiny and Mutiny in Outer Space.
Mutiny in Outer Space,
yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I love the connection. All right, so before I get into my Midnight Double feature, I do want to give a shout-out to our local bartender, Jeff. He is one of the bearded folk at Apple Annie's and also at the Bird's Nest downtown. And he was talking to me today about mutiny movies, and he suggested two movies.
That was my alternate choice. I'm so glad you're doing this.
Amazing, and they're so on theme, and they're kind of like Cold War era.
They're mutiny. Cold War era, and they're inverse of one another. So go ahead. I'm not going to steal your thunder.
So,
go ahead.
Crimson Tide is what I'm going with first. We've got Gene Hackman and also Denzel Washington.
Denzel.
Two amazing actors. Mm-hmm. And then also I'm going to pair that with The Hunt for Red October with Sean Connery and Alec Baldwin. The first
Jack Ryan
movie, film. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so tell me, because the way you said it sounded perfect, how are they inverse of each other?
Crimson Tide follows a more traditional mutiny storyline, mm-hmm. whereas Hunt for Red October is almost a reverse mutiny in that the commanding officer is mutineering his own ship.
He's taking over.
Unbeknownst to his crew.
Yes.
He's bamboozled them into thinking they're doing one thing when in actuality he's doing something else. So
I love it.
Very clever.
Also, I in my convoluted brain, I often get these two movies confused. And
I can see how. I mean, the movie posters are literally
very similar.
Black and red.
They came out very close to the same time. And one says crimson and one says red.
Yeah.
And those are two, those mean the same thing. So that's going to be my Midnight.
I like it. I'm so glad you did that.
Next up, we're going into our feature segment. All right. So the first movie we're going to be talking about is from 1954. It was directed by Edouard Dimitrik. It's got a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it is The Caine Mutiny. The Caine Mutiny features an all-star cast, and everybody gives their fullest performance. Would you not agree?
I agree. This is a great movie, and it hits on all cylinders. I think even my review said, I mean, every single actor just really made you believe that what was happening. I mean, it was exactly what you want in a film.
They kept it 100.
I agree.
All right, so this is a story that takes place during World War II, and we've got a ship that is not necessarily ship shape,
Yeah, a little slack.
So they're a little slack. And so we've got a veteran commander who comes in and is supposed to clean up the ship. And he turns out to be, let's say, paranoid. He suffers from paranoia.
Yeah, that's a good... that was brought up, and I agree with the assessment.
So the main character, Humphrey Bogart's character, was Lieutenant Commander Queeg. And
excuse me, did you say Queef?
Queeg.
Okay.
And the main character that we're speaking of, the captain of the ship, who is the subject of said mutiny, right?
Yes.
Then we also have Ensign Willie Heath, who is really the main character of the movie. He's a young gun. He is very forthright and has nothing to lose.
Yeah,
but
yeah, he's the I would call him the main character in the first half of the film.
Yeah,
because he really drives the plot along by pointing out all the weird things that's going on with the captain commander. True. Sorry.
All right, and then also we have Lieutenant Steve Merrick, who is played by Van Johnson. Van Johnson, and then finally Lieutenant Tom Kiefer, played by Fred McMurray. Probably the most enigmatic character in the movie.
Ironic, too.
Yeah.
Because they are talking about how the commander's yellow.
Yeah.
And spoilers.
He ends up to have yellow streak.
Yeah, he's the coward.
All right, so shall we go ahead and recast it?
Yeah, let's jump in on this.
All right, so Humphrey Bogart was 55 at the time, and he played Lieutenant Commander Queeg. I'm going to go ahead and go first with mine, if
you
that's
go.
Cool. So on CBS Sunday Morning this past Sunday, they did a piece on Jeff Daniels because he's playing Atticus Finch in a Broadway production of To Kill a Mockingbird.
I would like to see that.
So I'm going with Jeff Daniels in the role of Lieutenant Commander Queeg, Humphrey Bogart's original performance.
I like it.
Yeah.
I can see him doing that.
He is a venerable and veteran actor at this point.
Yeah, and if I kind of see him as he was in the Newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
In this role. So that's cool. All right, I went with an actor who is 57 this year, will be 57 this year. He was in Foxcatcher.
Oh, yeah.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Uh-huh.
The 40-Year-Old Virgin. I'm talking about Steve Carell.
Yes, indeed.
Steve Carell, who does a great job with serious roles.
Yeah, he does. What was the... So Foxcatcher was the most recent... No, Welcome to Marwen was the most recent serious
Which
role
I
he
liked.
Did. Yeah, I actually haven't watched it yet. I need to. So next up, we've got the role of Willie Keith.
Oh, yeah, and that was played by Robert Francis. And
Robert Francis.
Unfortunately, Robert Francis had only about four roles under his belt because right a year after this was released, he was tragically killed in a private plane crash with he and his wife, I believe.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. So unfortunate
Robert
because
Francis.
I really liked him in this. If you've never seen Caine Mutiny, if you can picture like Kevin Bacon in Animal House.
Yeah.
That's who I saw when I was watching him perform.
I like it. All right, so I'm going to go first. My actor is 26 now, and I'm not sure what age Robert Francis was at the time.
He was 24.
Okay. All right, so that's pretty congruent. And so he's kind of got a howdy-doody looking motherfucker.
Yeah, you said that earlier this week. I'm really curious what you got.
His name is Will Poulter.
Nice.
Will Poulter. I know I've chopped him before.
So have I.
He was really good in We're the Millers. He's also been in some other stuff, but he's going to be fantastic in this remake of The Caine Mutiny.
I like it. I went with somebody significantly older, and it will become obvious later on why. He was in Rampage with The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Obvious Child with Jenny Slate.
Oh, I love it.
He was in Miss Sloane. And
I don't know that one.
Miss Sloan? Yeah, it was 2016. That's got that redheaded chick.
Jessica Chastain.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. His name's Jake Lacy.
Okay.
Jake Lacy.
All right. Cool, cool.
He's got
cool.
a really wholesome smiley face
gotcha,
kind of look about
gotcha.
Him. He still looks younger than he really is.
Indeed. Okay. So next up, we've got Lieutenant Steve Merrick, who really is the hero of this movie. He's the one who has the gumption.
Well, he was very skeptical at first mm-hmm. about this. And it
but took- he actually goes through with it, and it does not work out too well for him. But he does have the balls to put it all on the line.
Yeah, and then he maintains the conviction that he did the right thing throughout. Yeah.
I agree. I think he did do the right thing.
Of course he did.
Yeah. All right, so Van Johnson plays Lieutenant Steve Merrick. He was 38.
38.
At the time. My actor is much older, but he is scarred up.
Okay.
He is rugged. He will do what it takes.
Okay.
He is 64 now.
Wow. Okay.
His name's Michael Rooker.
Oh, yeah.
You would know him from movies like Cliffhanger, the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mallrats.
Mallrats. Thank you, sir. yeah, he's going to be my Merrick.
I like that.
Because there's really no age that you can't really age out of the Navy.
Not in World War II, you can't.
No, you couldn't. Yeah. So Michael Rooker, he's scarred up in this picture too.
I like it. My actor will be 40 years old this year.
Okay.
He has been in such films as Detroit.
Okay. I've seen Detroit.
13 Hours.
Not familiar.
Aloha.
Aloha to you, sir.
And most people remember him from A Quiet Place. He was also the new Jack Ryan, as you
yes.
mentioned. It's John Krasinski.
Yes. John Krasinski's so good. And also, he is writing and directing the sequel to A Quiet Place.
I'm really
Place.
Curious how yes. that's going to work out.
I think it's going to work out just great. Also, his wife, my girl Emily Blunt, the best voice for a navigation system you could ever ask for. Turn right on the roundabout. All right, so next up, we've got the final role that we're going to recast, which is Lieutenant Tom Kiefer, portrayed by Fred McMurray. We know Fred McMurray from the original Nutty Professor. No, is it not the Nutty Professor? The Flubber. Flubber.
That is the absent-minded professor?
The absent-minded okay. professor.
Thank I also, you. I know him from My Three Sons. That's kind of what I okay. grew up watching reruns
gotcha.
Of that.
And Son of Flubber. And maybe Mr. Smith Goes to Washington? We might need to check with Dana on that one. And so my pick is going to blow your fucking head off. Are you ready?
I am ready.
My Fred McMurray. You might know him from The Hangover. You might know him from The Office.
Mm-hmm.
But his name is Ed Helms.
Ed Helms.
And he's going to be Fred McMurray.
It's a great pick.
Is that what you picked?
No, no.
Okay.
No. My pick is from Seattle, Washington. Let's see. Fred McMurray was 46. My actor is... he's actually 53, so I'm going to win a little older.
Okay.
He's been in the film Juno.
Oh, I like Juno.
He was in My Super Ex-Girlfriend.
Hmm.
He was in the film Super.
Hmm.
he's also been the voice of Lex Luthor in a lot of the DC animated things. It's Rainn Wilson.
Yes.
Rainn Wilson.
I love it.
Do you want to guess my theme?
No, just tell me.
It's The Office.
Oh, well, I went with somebody from The Office,
but think about
too.
It. Steve Carell, the boss, mentally mm-hmm. deranged,
mm-hmm.
obviously incompetent to do his job. You've got the young kid.
Yep.
Who joins up and starts stirring up some shit.
So it was pure coincidence
you've
that
got the,
I
yeah,
ended
it
up
is.
Picking Ed Helms.
It is. And you got the straight man who's
yes.
going to try to see it through. And then you've got the cowardly backstabbing guy who shows his true colors in the end.
I love it. I love it.
As I was watching the film, I was like, holy shit, this is The Office.
All right. Well, what else do we need to say about the Caine Mutiny?
If you haven't seen it, see it.
It's a really good movie.
It's a solid recommend.
I would say I agree. It is a recommend. I really wasn't familiar with this film until watching it in preparation for this show. And wow.
Yeah.
Like, the performances are out of the park.
Nice.
So we do have to head to intermission, but not before we say...
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves some sea rations.
All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis, and I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under reviewed.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it and multiply.
A podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our 2019 movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
And we're back. Thank you, Chop Shoppers, for bearing with us. We do appreciate all of your patience. So when we come back from intermission, what do we like to do, Sean?
We like to drink some beers.
And so we've got a couple of on-theme beers. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a stretch, but we've got three that we have. The first one we were already drinking, it was Wanderlush.
By
Highland Brewing, which I thought was kind of neat because, you know, those who set sail tend to wander a bit.
Mm-hmm. And they might also tend to be luscious.
Yeah. But also, of course, the history.
Or luscious.
Yeah. The history of the IPA was, as the story goes, the British during colonial times, the sailors wanted their beer in India in order to have the beer keep. Through the journey,
they would have to add extra hops.
So that's kind of tied into our nautical theme. And
indeed.
And I think this is pretty decent. When we were having it earlier, it wasn't quite cold enough. But we're going to try it now.
You got one cold?
It's colder. It's light and refreshing. I could drink a lot of this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like that.
There's nothing objectionable about it.
No, nothing at all. Oh, I like the can art as well. They've got like a...
it's very camping themed.
Yeah, there's like a camera and some sunglasses and a little camper.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Being from Asheville, North Carolina, they know their audience. So
they know their demographic.
But I'm going to go ahead and crack open as well another IPA. This is from Westbrook Brewing in Charleston. This is their double dry hopped IPA, Motuka Wakatu.
Hakuna Matata.
Exactly. Same to you.
It means no worries.
So this is a pretty fresh can. This is a April 16th can. So this is a much bigger, bolder IPA, as you would imagine, with the double IPA moniker. I'm going to pass that over to you. And we'll get into our
2019 movie marathon. This is where Sean and I and whoever else would like to participate, we watch as many movies as we can throughout the calendar year, checking them in on Twitter with the hashtag 2019 movie marathon. Or last year it was 2018, next year it'll be 2020. We got that 2020 vision. Sean, where do you check yours in?
Oh, I check mine in under the hashtag a windowless van.
It's not a hashtag. That's your...
Oh, that's my at sign.
Yeah, that's your at.
Sorry.
And mine is at Cinema Chop Shop. We're both checking those in on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
This is delicious, by the way.
Hey, what day of the year is it?
So it is April 26th, and that is the 116th day of the year. Sean, what movie are you on? What is your check-in?
136.
You're crazy,
man. I'm still 20 ahead.
You're a crazy man. I actually have three movies that I've seen, but I have not checked in yet because I've been having so much fun. But I think that that means I'm on 112.
Okay.
112. Yeah, so I'm falling behind a little bit. Not worried about it. What's your first check-in?
All right, my first check-in is, to say a classic would be an understatement, it is The Kid by Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, and we do have a upcoming thing we're working on.
Yeah, we're trying to decide if we're going to go all Charlie Chaplin or do Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton.
We're gonna work in some silent film themed movie.
Yeah,
episode.
It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah,
I think that was Chelsea's recommendation. She really wanted that, and I think that
Chell Dog Millionaire.
Chell Dog. So anyway, hilarious and touching. Chaplin does so much without dialogue.
Yeah,
and I mean that in both ways. There aren't a lot of dialogue subtitles in this either.
Okay.
So much of this is done through the action, but his relationship with the kid was so great. And the kid, of course, is played by, I'm drawing a blank on the name, it's the guy who played Uncle Fester in The Addams Family.
Christopher Lloyd?
Jackie Coogan.
Jackie Coogan, yeah, Jackie Coogan is correct. He played the original Uncle Fester in The Addams Family TV show.
Correct.
All right.
So that's my first one.
All right, so I'm just doing this on memory, you guys. So bear with me. My first check-in is going to be a movie that is a documentary. It's called Cassette. Cassette, a mixtape documentary. And it's all about the history of the format of the cassette. It is something of a lost media at this point. But back in the day, if you wanted to show a girl that you loved her,
mixtape,
you would make a mixtape on a cassette and maybe put it in her mailbox, maybe drop it off in her locker, but it would be the songs that were your heart songs. They would be the songs that showed her the real truth about love. And that's what this documentary is all about.
It sounds awesome.
It's really good.
Super cool. My next check-in is from 1989, and it is from the same team that brought us Whitnall and I.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's called How to Get Ahead in Advertising.
Okay.
And it is a caustic satire. A satire of the advertising industry, a satire of our consumerist culture. It's about a guy who is an advertising executive, and he becomes a little, as I said in my review, anybody who's been ruled by a deadline can relate to this.
Isn't pop art a satire of consumerist culture?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. He's working on a deadline for this acne cream, and he can't really get his shit together to get the presentation where he wants it. He develops a boil right at the base of his neck.
Oh, no.
And with the boil comes a bit of a psychosis that it's an alter ego that's talking to him. It actually takes a face and form and speaks to him.
A second evil head.
Yes, and it eventually becomes the dominant personality and suppresses him. And it is a freaky, freaky wild ride. This is a movie that I think that you would really like.
I will check it out. And as we all know, a watched pot never boils, but a watched boil never pops.
There you go.
So, my next check-in. Let me think about it just for a second. Oh, it was called Tulip Fever. And it's a really good movie to watch with your lady if you're feeling sexy.
Okay.
Because it's got Alicia Vikander and Dane DeHaan, and they're getting it on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's all about the tulip boom in Amsterdam.
Okay.
In the 1700s.
Oh, that was serious business.
It was serious business, but very sensual, sexy movie. Yeah.
Did they do it on a bed of rose petals, like in...
Tulip petals.
Oh, right. Do they do it like they did in The Room?
Do they do it like they did on the Discovery Channel?
Oh, no, don't go there. All right, my last check-in, I'm really excited about this one. It is from 2015. It's called The Lure.
Okay.
And as I said in my review, if Guillermo del Toro and Baz Luhrmann collaborated on a Little Mermaid film,
yeah,
this would be it.
Okay, I've seen this movie.
You have. It's The Lure. It's a Polish film.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a retelling of the Little Mermaid fairy tale, not the movie that we're familiar with.
The Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale.
And it is beautiful.
I love it.
It's when I say Del Toro and Luhrmann together, I mean you've got some of the grotesque monster fascination that Del Toro has, but it also has choreography and music, and the soundtrack is great.
I can't believe you watched this.
This
movie's so good.
I saw all three of these on the Criterion Channel this past
very
week.
Nice, very nice. Okay, so for my last check-in this week, I'm gonna check in a movie that you have also seen. It's called Leave No Trace. Leave No Trace is about a father and daughter who are coming up in the Oregon woods in kind of a off-the-grid scenario.
Yeah, he's a PTSD soldier.
Yeah. Yeah, he keeps flashing back to his kind of shell shock moments. The imagery of the Oregon woods were so nostalgic for me. I felt like I was back at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love that one as well.
I love the daughter. She was really good.
Really good. I'm excited to see what she does after this.
Me too. Final check-in for beers. This is from Weyerbacher. This was a donation from my good friend, Sonny, who works at Weyerbacher. This is the Chocolate Pretzel Sunday Morning Stout.
That's Sunny Lemons?
Yes. This is made with sea salt.
Oh, okay. I get it.
The sea salt. So we had some of this the other night. It's pretty good.
All right. So with that, we'll go ahead and finish up the 2019 movie marathon for this week, and we will go into the second part of our feature segment, which is the recast part two.
Continued.
The sequel.
Redux. Sorry, I tried to jump the gun there.
And this movie is going to be an earlier film by the same director. It came out in 1952. As opposed
to. So just 2 years ahead of this.
Yes. 2 years ahead of this. It was directed by Dimitrik. Same director as the first one. Edouard Dimitrik. And we've got a very young Angela Lansbury in this movie.
Yeah, she was pretty.
She was quite pretty.
She was 25.
Yeah, I've got 27, but that's fine.
One of us did our math wrong, let's meet in the middle.
The
she
math.
Was 26.
She was 26 years old at the time. In 1952, this movie is called Mutiny, and Even though it is the same genre of film, this one does not take place in World War II. It actually takes place during the War of 1812, where the British are still really mad about our independence and are blockading.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And so...
Yeah, we're trying to fetch an unofficial war loan from France. And once the first mate and the crew and his woman find out that there's...
Why is she even on board?
You know, they debate that a lot during the film, but this... to be, you know, truth be told, we both watched this on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Oh, this is not a good copy.
I don't know if they had a good copy or if this
was... That was a VHS rip, and it was not good.
Lighting problems, sound problems, blaring music problems. It was very hard to make out a lot of the dialogue.
Same director, same theme,
very 2 years apart. So, yeah, to say he has a type is an understatement. But anyway... Yeah, once they catch wind that there's gold to be had, that's what motivates their mutiny.
Indeed. All right, so we do have three roles that we're going to recast. The first is Captain James Marshall, who was played by Mark Stevens, who was 36 at the time. And then we've got Leslie, who was portrayed by Angela Lansbury, who was 26. As we will say.
Actually, you know what? You're right. 27. I can't read my own writing.
And then finally, we've got Captain Ben Waldridge. Waldridge? Not to be confused with LaMarcus Aldridge, who's going to go down in the semifinals. Go Blazers.
Go Blazers.
All right. So
he was played by...
Patrick Knowles.
Patrick Travis Knowles.
Patrick Knowles. The Log Knowles something. All right, so who do you have for your Captain James Marshall?
You know, he was such a straight-laced guy. I just went with the most straight-laced actor I could find.
Okay.
In his age range, I went with an actor who was in Mission Impossible Fallout, Justice League.
Okay.
And the Witcher TV series, Henry Cavill.
Oh, Henry Cavill. With or without mustache?
No mustache.
No mustache.
No, there's only room for one mustache in this movie.
And it belongs to Captain Waldridge.
That's right.
All right, so my pick is... Oh, I did mention I have a theme.
Yes, yes, you have a theme this time.
Yeah. So my actor, you would know him... I don't know a lot of his other credits because... We all just know him as Jorah Mormont in Game of Thrones, and he's going to be Captain James Marshall. There it is. Jorah Mormont is going to be my Captain James Marshall.
Very good. Very, very good.
His name is actually Leon Glenn.
Yes.
Leon Glenn? Does that sound right?
No. I don't... We talked about him last...
Lane Glenn.
Talked about him last week because he's going to be the Bruce Wayne on the Titans TV series.
That's dope.
Yeah, we talked about that. Okay. Cool. He's good, man. He's going to have to do something after the...
Game of Thrones ends?
After the wrap, yeah. I mean, he's already probably looking for work.
All right, what do you got?
Well, moving on to the next role, the role of Leslie.
Angela Lansbury.
Played by the very beautiful, elegant Angela Lansbury.
She was so hot, dude.
Yeah, she was beautiful. I went with an actress who was born in Paris, France, to a Polish father and an Australian mother of Irish descent. So I wanted to go with that international flair of elegance that Angela
very
Lansbury...
Very continental.
Yeah, Angela Lansbury pulls that off. She was in The Great Gatsby. She was in Everest. She was in Guardians of the Galaxy. She was Aisha, the gold guild, the gold people. Do you remember that in Volume 2?
No.
They were gold and they were very uppity.
As you will know, I do not remember very many things from the previous times.
They were very elitist and aristocratic, so that's what got me. Her name is Elizabeth Debicki.
Okay. I don't think you're saying her name right.
Debicki.
Well, as you will know, Sean, we on the continent, we tend to pronounce things a little bit different than you Yankees.
Okay, Frenchie.
All right, so what do we got?
That's you, man.
I am up next with my Angela Lansbury as Leslie. I got to keep it with the Game of Thrones theme. I'm going with my girl, Natalie Dormer. Natalie Dormer is going to be the Angela Lansbury Leslie role.
I like it.
What do you think?
I like it, yeah. I was just thinking, you know, there were a lot of people that wanted her to be Captain Marvel in the Marvel series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because at the time she had a haircut that was very similar to the
Well, that was her haircut in Game of Thrones, The Hunger Games.
Yeah, so a lot of people were doing Photoshops of her as Captain Marvel, so it's kind of funny, you know, that's Hot Topic.
Yeah.
So yeah, good pick.
Nice. What do you got?
All right, so next we've got Captain Ben Waldridge.
Ben Waldridge.
He had that neat mustache.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of a handlebar.
Didn't have a handlebar.
But it was just really cool.
It was
really
very,
cool.
Very sculpted. It reminded me of like an Errol Flynn kind of look.
A Tom Selleck?
No, not Tom Selleck. Tom Selleck was more bushy. Okay. No, I was thinking more like the Vincent Price.
Oh, a little bit more pencil thin.
Yes. So I went with someone who's very much in that vein in terms of who he likes as actors and who he's done a good job of portraying in parody.
Yeah.
I went with Bill Hader.
Yes. I love it. Yeah. I love it so much.
I think Bill Hader would be fantastic.
All right. Oh, my God. Okay, so keeping it with the Game of Thrones theme that I've been going for, I've got to go Eddard. I got to go Sean Bean.
But he doesn't die in this movie.
Maybe he didn't die in the Game of Thrones. We don't know. So, mustache, arrogance.
I like it.
Yeah. It's hard. It's real hard.
That's what she said.
Have we finished this?
We finished it.
So, how do we feel about the movie itself?
I didn't really care for it. I thought it was kind of predictable.
Not a recommend.
And not a recommend. I mean, the War of 1812 is just not good movie material.
No.
It's like, it's the bastard stepchild of the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. Yeah, it's like you've got these other wars that bookend it.
Yep.
And so the War of 1812 just does not get the sexy play that it should on film. And yeah, who wants to... It's hard for an audience to get behind a blockade. I mean, come on. it's like, we're going to go and get this money from the French.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
All right. So with that, we'll go into our final segment, which is going to be this week, a honey roast.
A honey roast.
A honey roast of one, Charles Laughton.
Yeah, that's correct.
Charles Laughton. Tell me about Charles Laughton.
Well, Charles Laughton famously played Captain Bligh in the Mutiny on the Bounty.
Mutiny on the Bounty. It's a bountiful episode, you guys.
And he's a very accomplished actor. In addition to Captain Bligh, he won the Oscar for Henry VIII, Henry VIII in The Private Life of Henry VIII. He was also Gracchus in Spartacus.
Okay.
So the guy just, I love Mutiny on the Bounty.
Yeah.
And we didn't recast this, obviously, because it's...
too on the nose.
It's on the nose, and it's very well known, but Lawton's Bligh was so contemptible. And he did such a fantastic job in that role. I'm surprised he didn't win the Oscar for that, although he was nominated.
All right, give me another character he played.
Beyond Henry, yeah. Henry VIII and...
Beyond Henry VIII.
Oh, geez, let's see. The Big Clock.
Captain, oh, I like that. The Big Clock.
He was Captain Kidd. He was Captain William Kidd.
Okay,
the Captain Kidd movie.
I like it, which is also a nautical kind of... Tale of the High Seas movie.
He was in The Canterville Ghost. He was Quasimodo in The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, which we do need to mention. The Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris is going to be rebuilt. Yes. There are plenty of backers who have come out of the woodwork and are going to rebuild that church.
It
holds a very sacred place in my heart.
Well, it's one of those foundations of an art history education.
Yes.
So,
all right. Well,
so that's our honey roast.
Honey roast of
Charles Lawton.
Charles Lawton. So, before we leave you, we want to say, I want to thank the guest who is not here.
Oh yeah, thanks for not coming.
Joey.
Pool boy.
I also want to thank my co-host and co-producer, the mutinous insurrection. Thank you for doing what you do every week, sir.
Yeah, it'll be fun editing this one.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. And also,
we want to plug
the podcast itself. If you are listening to us on iTunes or Spotify, or whatever it is you're listening to us on, please give us a rating, a review, or a subscription, because we could really use that.
Or just give us money.
Or money. We would like money as well. Also, the beers that we checked in today, we're going to check those in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And Sean, you had something you want to say?
I was just going to talk about next week. We've got the...
Do it.
Since we have Cinco de Mayo coming up.
The Films of Mexico?
Films of Mexico.
Very nice. All right, so Chop Choppers, thank you for tuning in on your radios. And please remember to watch
Chop Retrofit. Tip your bartenders.
And your Hillary's.
Hillary, where are you?